And so it begins.
What?
A break from the mess that is Christmatoon.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right. Salutations, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live to that live stream every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am the host of the show. And here, filling in for Chris, is our dear friend and guest host, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, I'm Heather Lee.
Hello, Heather. And as always, sitting on the other side of me in her usual spot, the ever so effervescent.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
She tried.
She kind of nailed it. It's okay. For the first like 20 episodes, I continually missed it. So you're fine.
10 second delay.
So let's just try it one more time. Okay. Tom.
The Dish.
No, okay. Welcome you all.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
Yeah. So guess what I did? I left my cocktail over there. Anyway, so Heather, thank you so much for joining us. For those who are tuning in, Chris is away. He's in Canada. Friend Toby. Yeah, I know, right? Oh, Canada. Our friend Toby, his friend that he met in Germany, who became our friend later on, came in to the States. He's adorable. Oh, Toby's just amazing. He's great. So he's in the States and he is touring. He was in New Haven. He was in Texas. That poor boy was flown all over the place trying to get into the U.S. But he finally made it and they're on their way. They're driving up to Canada, I believe.
That gay boy had to fly into Texas and take a megabus.
Well, really? No, he flew into Texas yes. And then he went from Texas to Philadelphia. And from Philly, he took the bus.
He took a mega bus. Hello.
He had to do something. I mean, he had to get here.
You know that $5 ride. It gets you where you need to go.
So I believe they're on their way to New Brunswick.
Yes.
Not New Jersey.
No, New Brunswick, Canada. That's part of Canada that's north of Maine.
Didn't we have like a ton of snow and stuff?
Oh, they rented a Jeep.
Yeah, no, I got them all hooked up in a rental.
Oh, okay, so you go, girl. Fine.
No, they're doing amazing. Before we get into all of the shenanigans that we have lined up on the show, there's a lot of stories that we're going to cover.
Oh my God, there's so many.
So much. It's like Chris left and we got so productive.
I know.
Like, seriously. But before we do that, let me just play you guys a quick message from one of our sponsors. We'll be right back. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Innovative Heating and Cooling LLC, a Connecticut-based business servicing the greater New England tri-state area. From maintenance and repairs to replacements, conversions, and even new installs, Innovative Heating and Cooling provides professional top-quality work for both commercial and residential customers. Call our friends Garrett and Kyle today and schedule your free in-home estimate by calling 203-283-7272. You can follow them on Facebook at Innovative Heating and Cooling. Now back to the show. All right. Thank you so much for letting us play you a little bit of what helps us out here on the show. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking to become a sponsor on Gay Talk, hit us up. Just send us an email at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com.
Yes, do it.
You know,
we get plenty of them for roasting. Trish.
We just got another one today.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. We got another email. That roast is coming. 3 episodes away. I better start writing my material along with my paper. I started school today.
Yes.
So, I mean, I've been in school, but I started my next semester today.
She was super busy all weekend.
Oh, I was doing so much getting ready and getting my mindset back into being in school because, you know, after being off from school for so long, because I took a couple of semesters off or a couple of modules because I was buying a house and I was getting all my ducks in a row. And I didn't want to deal with school and that at the same time because that could be very stressful. Mm-hmm. But now it's done. I'm in. There's still some stuff that I need to do in the house and stuff and in the studio.
Yeah,
and
we're getting there,
but
though.
But I can't keep procrastinating and pushing school off. So, yeah. And Christopher starts on the 17th.
He does.
And we're super excited for him. So,
and,
yeah.
Semester starts for me on the 17th. That's 18th after.
Look, Heather, get on that mic like a cock. Hello.
There you go, girl. Christopher, warning. You're not going to want to get too close to that mic.
It's like a big ice cream cone.
Exactly. It's got nice little fluffy stuff on it to help
Ernie's
us out.
Nose you or never Bert's?
Know. It could be Bert's. Maybe it's Bert's cock. I don't know. It's something.
It's been a while.
But, well, let's talk about our cocktails. So we have cocktails. Cheers.
Yes.
To Lady Heather for joining us.
Yes.
Fabulous. Yes. Here, I'll just do this.
Really?
Give me this.
Really
yeah.
We can do it virtually. It's okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
I was going to send an email, but.
So, today's cocktail is what I like to call a nice little tropical vodka tropical da-da-da. It's just
basically Chris isn't here and we did not prepare a cocktail correctly.
But I will tell you what it has in it. So it's Tito's vodka.
Yay.
Because you know it's delicious and it's
brought to you by Tito's vodka.
Uh-huh. Yay. Is it gluten free?
Yes.
Of course it is.
And it's better for hangovers, FYI.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a little bit of these Tropical Punch Ripe juice in it. Of course, Ripe is a company that's based out of Connecticut, mm-hmm. makes delicious cold pressed juices that are, again, they're not our sponsors, but we're just letting you know.
And they're not just for cocktails.
They're for anything, yep. really. And then, of course, a little bit of cranberry. You toss all of that over some ice. And Heather, tell us, how was your cocktail?
It's friggin' awesome.
Delicious. And then, of course, we had some shots.
Just so you know, Jess Branis just texted and said, Heather, get on that mic, girl.
Oh, my God. Is this better? Can I get more feedback? Better,
yes.
better. Perfect. I'm like, my tongue is stuck to it.
So, thank you, Jess.
Before we move into our stories, I want to talk to you about my weekend.
He had a very, very intense weekend.
Okay.
I want to hear this.
So, I've been thinking about getting a new car for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then when it's been really, really cold here,
no.
and then my car wouldn't start.
It was so cold, I swear to God, I thought my nuts disappeared.
Right. So my car sat in my driveway for almost a whole week because it wouldn't start. And I would jump it, and then it would run for a day or two, and then it would stop. And so I didn't want to drive it anywhere until I had time to go get a battery. So I went and got a battery. I replaced the battery. And that, as a gay man, is not an easy job. Well, as a gay man that is me, it's not an easy job.
That's the easiest thing you can do.
Did you go to AutoZone and be like, I'm so, can you help me, please?
No, because, I
no,
can't.
Please.
I, you know,
come
I,
on,
I couldn't.
The Trish could come out, please.
I didn't. So I took it home. My roommate helped me. I put the battery in. The car worked. So
she didn't, though.
But I was still like, it's time. I need to get a new car. So on Saturday, I went and looked at a couple cars. And I found one that I really, really liked. So I put a deposit down. And I just to think over the weekend and figure out if I really wanted to do it or not. They put the car on hold for me. And then I was driving to work last night. My back tire.
No.
Went flat for no reason. There's no hull. There was nothing. There was a lug nut missing.
Well, it was fucking cold. Well,
I need to talk about that. So how long do you think this lug nut was missing?
I have
no
idea.
Because it's supposed to have five, right? Five lug nuts?
But five is weird. You really only need four.
But if you have the five, if your rim
explain it to
takes
me, babe.
Five, you have to have all five. It's a perfect symbiotic balance, right? And then one of those lug nuts, I suspect, would be the lock.
No.
Well, wheel lock. You know, the wheel lock.
I was going to say, Trish is more on my side than your side. You're just getting too, like, male.
Oh, full car!
Remember what Oprah said.
What did she say? We're going to get into that in a minute.
We're going to get into it.
But
so my tire went flat. And, of course, Trish can't change a tire. So
it would ruin
so
your nails.
I got to the bar. Tire was flat. Tried to fill it up. Didn't work. Drove it back to the bar. Jose, then my cohort behind the bar on Sundays was like, all right, fine, I'll go outside and change your tire.
He did.
If you watch the bar. So
mind
he,
you, this kid is 20 pounds wet.
20 pounds wet, but he's like, he's a carpenter and a manly,
yeah, but
manly
still, it's like,
man.
When you're all bones, that fucking cold gets to you.
Yeah.
He was, I poured him a shot when he came back in.
Shaking. He was shaking, literally, like, I was like, and then.
And Tom just walked inside.
Of course I did. Do you honestly think? I was like, I'm not here to change the tire. I'm here to do karaoke, girl. And so I walk up and I'm like, what are you doing? He goes like, oh, he got a flat. And I'm like, you're changing his tire? He's like, yeah, I'll be done shortly. And then he starts turning the lever to bring the car down.
Yeah, I wasn't out there. I don't know
because
this.
Once you put the tire in, right, you can't just start tightening the lug nuts because the tire keeps spinning.
Yeah, you have to.
So you have to bring the car down, and he started going the opposite way. He started bringing the car up. And I'm like, girl, you're going the wrong way. You got to go the other way. And so finally we got the car down, and then now the tire's taut on the pavement so he can start, you know, screwing the lug nuts.
Screwing it.
And we realized that after he screwed it for so long, he was missing one. I bet you that was her lock.
All this being said, right after I find out that my tire is flat, my key breaks in half.
Oh my God.
It didn't even have
the fob broke apart, all the inner pieces exploded all over the driveway, couldn't find them because it was dark, lost it. So I go back in and
that
I'm like...
That is like a sign from the universe.
That was like, go back to the dealership on Monday.
Big time.
And get a new car.
So what did you do?
I went and bought a car today.
Yay, sure did.
I bought a new car and she is beautiful, fully loaded, all-wheel drive. I don't want to commit to this yet.
But we're playing with the idea, toying with the idea.
I think it's going to be Harper the Honda.
Harper the Honda.
I mean, she's fucking gorgeous. I love her color.
So he pulls up. He texts me. He goes like, when I get there, do you want to go for a ride? And I'm like, abso-fucking-lutely. It's a brand new car. I love the smell of brand new cars.
Well, I pulled in behind and I was like, that's a beautiful car and it matches my hair. So I really...
Her hair is blue. Oh, yeah. We'll take a picture and put that
it's
on the website.
Brilliant blue with black leather interior.
Heated seats.
I just got really wet. I'm sorry.
I'm getting an automatic starter installed on Wednesday.
You got wet,
so
girl?
I'm like, Trish is adulting.
She's adulting. And, but you know, I'm
God! The funniest thing, though, what happened? What happened was when I tried to cash out. What happened?
Okay. Can I take this? So I'm doing...
I paid part cash, part card. They take my card, and...
I'm doing my business in the bathroom, and I take my phone with me, and all of a sudden, I look at our Gay Talk... it's Snapchat. Thank you. And I pull up and I'm trying to read and it's got all these scribbles, right? Because he's trying to scribble out his credit card numbers, the date, and all these like important information. And cashier. We get to the cashier part and I look down and it says Trish. Her fucking cashier at the car dealership was Trish.
And the guy that's been selling me this car that I've been sitting with for hours at this point comes back, hands me the receipt to sign, and I look down and I'm just like, oh my God, I can't handle this. And he's like, what? Is everything okay? I'm like, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Like,
and wasn't he cute? You said
he was
gorgeous.
Super, super beautiful. Like he was a good looking man.
I think I need to go buy a new car just to go look at him.
I'm pretty sure he might have been flirting with me, but I think that's probably just so that I would buy the car.
Of course.
Well, you know, salesmen are sluts.
I'm in a relationship.
Oh.
I can't say that.
So sorry.
But wait, you're not a salesman.
No, I said I'm in a relationship.
So he couldn't take...
No, I was about to say something that I should say, shouldn't
offered,
say. Right.
You know?
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I understood. No,
10-second delay.
No, but the amazing part was when I was sitting on my throne and I saw that receipt and I saw Trish and I just lost it.
I could not believe that. Literally, I was like, "Really? Is this bitch's name Trish? She ran my card. She took all my money, and her name is Trish. I hate you, Trish.
You hate yourself?
I guess so.
Girl, don't do that.
No, but I feel like all the things that led up to me getting this car, it was just like
it was a sign.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
It was totally a sign. Flat. Key broke. Like, literally.
I mean, if it exploded and the guts, like, fell out, that's, like, you can't even, like, recover from that.
I had that car for 5 years, and I dropped it off at the dealership, and I just saw him drive it into the back dirt lot, no plates, with a fucking yellow donut on it. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, why am I getting a little emotional about this?
That was your boo.
I know. So, Santana, you were semi-good to me. Thank you.
You know? Bye, Felicia. She's gone now. Now you got Harper, right?
Yeah, Harper.
What was the other name?
I was thinking Harper or...
But you said two. You said it had two names, right?
Harper the Honda.
Harper the Honda.
Every one of my cars has always been aligned with... So my first
What's
car
the matter
was...
with Heather? Just saying.
Well, that was an option. But also Hillary was an option.
Oh, please.
What was it that you
Heather's
were going to call
better.
It?
Heather's better. How about...
What do you mean? What was it?
Happening though? Hillary or something like that?
No, I said it could be Hillary the Honda. She didn't win the election, but she's a fierce bitch.
Hello, and blue.
Well, what about a Heidi? Because she can go up mountains.
Heidi ho.
I don't know. Harper just sounds fierce to me. But anyway, I think we need to move into our show. For Christ's sake.
All right. So, all right. Let me kick this off. So,
can I just say one thing?
Yes.
Okay. I'm short. And I can't see your faces because there's all these things.
My face is right here.
No, but I can't see your face. So, yeah. Better? That's much better.
Oh, you can bring your seat
oh,
up.
Oh, I can go up?
Yeah. If you push the little lever on the side and stand up.
You have
up.
To stand and...
Oh, Lord. We just have to... Yeah. Give her a minute. She'll get it. Just throw that. There you go.
Oh.
Uh-huh. You see? Voila. Mm. And then she
got a little bit of lift under her
and
butt.
And now I can actually see people's faces.
Isn't it fabulous, though?
Because you need that for, like...
So the last time you were here, we didn't have all this craziness in the studio. She's trying to squeeze into it.
You need rollers.
All right. So let's jump into our first story. I wanted to talk about Zach Walls, okay? And if you not... If that name doesn't ring a bell... I can guarantee you that his speech that he had given back in 2011 would definitely ring a bell. So just to give you a bit of a background on who Zach Walls is, he was at the time a 19-year-old young man who went to the House of Representatives in the great state of Iowa.
Proud of you.
And gave a very, very amazing speech in support of both of his mothers, right? He's a straight man. His mothers are two lesbians. And he literally got up there and he was fighting for marriage equality. You got to remember this happened in 2011. We didn't get marriage equality nationwide until 2015.
Right.
So he gave such an amazing speech that it really went viral. And I'm going to play the speech for you. It's about 3 minutes. Bear with me. But then there's a really, really good story that comes after. And I think that you guys were really going to enjoy that as well. You know, obviously, Zach made an announcement and I'm super excited about it. But I want you to listen to what he had to say 7 years ago. And I think it's just amazing. So let's take a listen.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. My name is Zach Walls. I'm a sixth generation Iowan and an engineering student at the University of Iowa. And I was raised by two women. My biological mom, Terry, told her grandparents that she was pregnant, that the artificial insemination had worked, and they wouldn't even acknowledge it. It actually wasn't until I was born and they succumbed to my infantile cuteness that they broke down and told her that they were thrilled to have another grandson. And unfortunately, neither of them lived to see her marry her partner, Jackie, of 15 years, when they wed in 2009. My younger sister and only sibling was born in 1994. We actually have the same anonymous donor, so we're full siblings, which is really cool for me. You know, and I guess the point is that our family really isn't so different from any other Iowa family. You know, when I'm home, we go to church together, we eat dinner, we go on vacations. But, you know, we have our hard times too, we get in fights. You know, actually, my mom, Terry, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2000. It is a devastating disease that put her in a wheelchair, so we've had our struggles. But, you know, we're Iowans. We don't expect anyone to solve our problems for us. We'll fight our own battles. We just hope for equal and fair treatment from our government. Being a student at the University of Iowa, the topic of same-sex marriage comes up quite frequently in classroom discussions. You know, and the question always comes down to, well, can gays even raise kids? And the question, you know, the conversation gets quiet for a moment because most people don't really have an answer. And then I raise my hand and say, actually, I was raised by a gay couple and I'm doing pretty well. I scored in the 99th percentile on the ACT. I'm actually an Eagle Scout. I own and operate my own small business. If I was your son, Mr. Chairman, I believe I'd make you very proud. I'm not really so different from any of your children. My family really isn't so different from yours. After all, your family doesn't derive its sense of worth from being told by the state, you're married, congratulations. No, the sense of family comes from the commitment we make to each other, to work through the hard times so we can enjoy the good ones. It comes from the love that binds us. That's what makes a family. So what you're voting here isn't to change us. It's not to change our families, it's to change how the law views us, how the law treats us. You are voting for the first time in the history of our state to codify discrimination into our Constitution. A Constitution that, but for the proposed amendment, is the least amended Constitution in the United States of America. You are telling Iowans that some among you are second-class citizens who do not have the right to marry the person you love. So will this vote affect my family? Would it affect yours? Now, over the next 2 hours, I'm sure we're going to hear plenty of testimony about how damaging having gay parents is on kids. But in my 19 years, not once have I ever been confronted by an individual who realized independently that I was raised by a gay couple. And you know why? Because the sexual orientation of my parents has had zero effect on the content of my character. Thank you very much.
And
oh my God,
that is all I have to say about that. That kid gave such an amazing speech back in 2011, and it really went viral. I think we talked about this
very early on. A future president. I don't know.
Wait. So, Mr. Walz, he's now 26 years old, has announced that he is running as a Democratic candidate for Iowa's 37th State Senate District in 2018.
That's fantastic. Amazing.
In a statement announcing his candidacy, the Iowa native said that he is throwing his hat in the political ring for one simple reason. And this is basically what he said, quote, "This is an all hands on deck moment that will determine the future of our state for generations to come. I feel responsible for doing my part," Walz said in a statement published Thursday. "Our state has a choice to make. Are we going to let Republicans continue to attack healthcare, education, workers' rights, or are we going to stand up and fight for the values that have defined this state for over 100 years?
Wow.
What an amazing thing to do. I mean, you got to realize that
he's brilliant.
19 years old. He's an engineering student, right, from the, I believe, the University of Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was from the University of Iowa. Thank you. I'm trying to make sure that I get my facts correctly. And then he went on to quote the late Senator Paul Wellstone from the same state, and where that particular senator has said that we all do better when we all do better. And basically, that is why he's running.
But also, what he said at the end of the speech, too, about the content of his character, wasn't that JFK that said that? No. Who said that?
Someone had said something similar. You know, you're not defined by the color
of your skin. It was Martin Luther King.
Yeah. But what?
But
he
by was, the content of your character.
Correct. Right. And so basically what he tried to say in that statement was that I'm not defined by the fact that I have two parents that happen to be either lesbian or gay. I am defined by the content of my character, what I develop, who am I as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that that was just amazing. So, you know, I just, you know what? I really hope that he wins. I really hope that he does amazing things. And you
know
what?
He's young, so he has plenty of time.
Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And you know what? He has been an activist, a very faithful activist. I want to really look up more.
He's planting the seed.
Of course.
And that's the most important thing. He's planting the seed for change in Iowa. He's planting the roots that mm-hmm. could become great and support that state and the people within that state.
Right.
And I think it's going to be great. And I think that we're possibly looking at someone who may have, you know, the makings of a future president.
Mm, yeah.
And with that ideology, I think that that's going to be a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to throw that out there. It really touched my heart when I read that story today, and I was just like, wow.
That is, I mean, beyond touching your heart, I mean, this child is so adamantly standing up for his parents. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, what child do you know that would do that? That would get up there. We're all damaged by our parents. He's probably damaged by his parents, but he knows that they did right by him.
Right. Of course.
And he is doing everything and has done everything since 2011, you said?
Visibly.
Yes.
2011, he was 19 years old when he first made that speech in the state legislature.
That he has to support not only his family, but his family's right to be a family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? To those two amazing women who raised such an incredible young man, claps for them.
Yes.
So, all right, I just want to mention one quick thing before we go to break, because I know we're going to go to break and then we're going to come back. All right. I have to talk about Doug Jones' son.
Okay.
Very quickly, because I just can't let it go. It's my can't let it go. So, as we know, last Wednesday, Doug Jones got sworn in the U.S. Senate as the next senator from the state of
he looks
Alabama.
Like he wants to kill him.
So in true form, Doug Jones gets sworn in by none other than Mike Pence, who is the biggest homophobe on the planet. And right next to Doug Jones is none other than his son, who happens to be an openly gay, beautiful. And when I tell you beautiful, I mean the kid is hot. That's his son right there.
There you go.
So he is giving Mike Pence the side eye. I mean, this kid wins the 2018 award for best side eye ever.
And that's like against me.
Seriously.
Like, proud of you. Like, I am proud of you.
No, but listen.
But like, it's funny because like the side eye, his face is so stoic and so strong and so straight. But those eyes are like, death.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's just like hateful.
Horrible bigot.
Like, seriously, like, you're holding you're asking my father to swear on this Bible that he's going to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and your motherfucking ass sits there and tries to literally bring down the LGBT community in your own goddamn state before you became freaking vice president.
Yep. Soapbox.
Hello.
I just want to say, too, that you don't have to be sworn in on a Bible, which we've learned recently.
But that's a Bible.
I know that is a Bible, but I think it's important to note.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dumb fucks.
No, but, and you know what? And the fact that he brought his openly gay son to get sworn in.
Of course he did.
In the Senate, that is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what? And it speaks to his character. Doug Jones.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Bravo. Doug Jones gets claps, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, all right, listen.
Well, you know what it's so amazing about that, though?
Yes.
Like, bringing him there, it's like, we have people in power that are
bigots,
and then we have people like this, Doug Jones, who they're welcoming us. They want to be there. They want to support us, and they're showing our love. He's showing his love for our community by bringing his son and allowing his son to be there.
Absolutely.
And visible like that.
And this is...
And his son accepting that responsibility is huge, too, because he's putting his face out there as a visible member of our community.
Exactly.
He's using his visibility for the right reasons. And of course, he's just gorgeous. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
That beard. I can tell you he's a little husky, which is just completely my type. But, you know. Carson? Is that his name? Carson Jones?
Ooh.
Daddy's waiting for you. Anyway, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we have more stories. Heather's going to enlighten us with a couple of things that have happened since the beginning of the year. So we've got more on that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back. So here's some music. See ya.
Turn your face to the light. Let the shadow fall behind.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. From our break, that was Shine by Arshad, a previous guest of ours, doing amazing work out in L.A., bringing visibility to the people of color and all that amazing work that he does with his affiliates, making sure that people who are in Hollywood and all those different types of groups of people get the visibility that they need in that area.
Including our allies.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And he does amazing work. So
Heather, right now, I can't. And his she's got her hood up and her headset on her hood. I can't.
I will turn on the heat for you, girl.
I'm looking at Tom, and then all of a sudden I scroll over to Heather, and I'm like, oh, my God, stop it. Stop fucking with me like
so
that.
So cute.
I'm cold.
I'm so sorry, honey. But that keeps you awake. So, you know.
That's, oh, is that it?
Yeah, that's always important. Absolutely.
I mean, my ass is ice cubes right now, okay?
Really?
Uh-huh. Good thing I have heated seats in my car now.
Yeah, well, these chairs are not heated. I'm going to have to make these chairs heated now.
Really,
but anyway,
awesome.
So yeah, we took a break. We've refreshed our cocktails. I think that we're... How are you feeling, Heather?
I'm good. You're cold.
Well, the heat is on. It should be working soon.
The heat is on.
That's right.
The heat is on.
Don't,
I'm like, were you alive when that song came out?
I don't think so.
No, he wasn't.
Every time I hear that or I think of that song, I think of like, what is that, Jazzercise? The heat is on. And everybody, all those women in their spandex and the like one or two men.
Wasn't that part of the Cabe and Bacon movie?
Footloose?
No, I think it was, what's Eddie Murphy? Hollywood. The cop.
Oh, Beverly Hills Cop. Yes. Oh my God, I fucking love those
movies. Yeah.
He did two of those, Beverly Hills Cop and Beverly Hills Cop 2. That's right.
Yep.
The sequel's always the best.
All right, so again, welcome. Eddie Murphy was the shit back then. I mean, yeah. he's still...
Well, he's kind of cool for kids right now, but...
Yeah.
Well, if he was such the shit, he should come here and take care of your dogs, because Dr. Doolittle needs to do something about that shit.
Leave my dogs alone.
They were apartment dogs. They don't know what to do with the free range.
Yeah, it's...
No, they do. They know exactly what to do.
Yeah, they're just a little shell shocked. That's all.
They
it's very cold.
On Tommy's bed.
It's very cold. Well, I left my bedroom door open when I left to work, and when I came back, I thank God for my mattress protector. That thing is like waterproof.
They peed.
One of them peed on my bed. Yeah. So I'm washing sheets right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it happens. And
so it happens when you have babies like that. Your fur babies do that.
Yeah, and you know, you just have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do.
It's better than having an actual baby do it.
So we have one announcement that we need to make, and then we're going to jump into a couple of stories and some details and statistics that the wonderful lady Heather has for us. So, Nicholas, why don't you tell us what happened in Connecticut today?
Oh, are we going to jump into that right now?
Absolutely.
Hashtag not prepared.
Oh, I like catching her
so
off guard.
Our own Governor Malloy nominated Andrew McDonald to be the nation's first openly gay Chief Justice.
Yes, claps for him.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's fantastic news. And this broke today.
Literally, we were about to start the show, and it was on the news upstairs, and I was like, oh my God, we have to talk about this. So, I am going to say that I'm not as educated on it as I should be, but
it's breaking news.
Yeah, but
no
I'm
one
just,
ever
truthfully,
is.
I'm just surprised that it's
taken this long.
Well, yeah, I thought that we had already had an openly gay.
Well, we had an openly gay member of the armed forces serving, and some of in a higher rank, but at the national level.
I mean, come on, let's talk about the Supreme Court. How many people are gay in there? I know they haven't come out, but.
Well,
yeah, they have to be out. That's the problem.
Okay, is that
Which one though? Which one do you think?
Which ones?
The key here is openly.
Which ones? Yeah. Well, Souter was. I say Souter, Sotomayor, and Kagan.
Really? Well, I could see Kagan being a member of the sister ally community.
Sotomayor.
Yeah. Sotomayor, you think?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know. Can I get in trouble for saying that? Does
no,
that them
no,
sound
you're
like-
fine. No, you're fine.
You're fine.
You're fine.
No, but you know what? John Roberts?
No.
I think he's a handsome fella.
Well, there's a lot of hetero guys that actually have fantasies.
Well, listen, there are a lot of legislators that have done things that they shouldn't do.
If I were to ever find myself in D.C., I wouldn't mind running into Neil Gorsuch under a stall somewhere.
You're nasty.
Hashtag glory hole.
Anyway, I'm going back. So Justin.
Yes!
Justice Andrew J. McDonald, who broke new political ground by serving as an openly gay legislator and later as the first openly gay member of the state Supreme Court, was nominated Monday, which is today, by Governor Daniel P. Malloy to be the next Chief Justice of state. Of our state's high court, which is amazing.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
And I hope that that nomination turns into an appointment.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we have to realize he was nominated. Now, who is responsible for... I mean, we're a blue state, but think about we live in Donald Trump's America today, unfortunately. And there's a possibility that he may not actually... get appointed.
Yeah, I think he'll get appointed here, though.
But it's a blue state, so...
Well, and the difference here between Trump and Governor Malloy, even though...
Mm-hmm. Let's not go there.
Yeah, exactly.
He's had his issues.
Yeah, but Malloy knows what the hell he's doing and knows who and why he's nominating people.
Of course.
Like, first of all, Malloy thinks that him nominating Andrew or Mr. Uh-huh. McDonald is... going to be a huge political stunt for him and get him a huge, you know, a bunch of votes, whatever, and a bunch of political support from the LGBTQ community.
He's not running again. I thought he was.
No, he's not.
He's not running again.
No.
Oh, I thought he was.
He's not running. No.
No, I think part of it is.
Then I'm fucking proud of you, Malloy.
Yeah, I think he's trying to make like certain
amends.
Things or just setting up what he wants for the betterment of Connecticut. You may not agree with it, but I think that that's what he's doing. And so, you know, when you're a lame duck, you know, you have your own agenda. And so he's trying to push down what he wants. And so I think that's fantastic. I may not have necessarily totally agreed with him with certain things, but hey.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I didn't agree with certain things that Malloy did. But you know what? In the end, the budget needs to be passed, rectified. It needs to balance.
Balancing?
Yeah.
That's a concept.
I mean, no, what we need to do is we need to legalize pot. That would save.
I thought it was.
No, it's legalized. Kind of.
It's medical.
I was going to say, my cousin thinks it is.
You can carry a certain amount on yourself, but it's not legal for public consumption.
Yeah.
So
we have medical facilities that actually...
medical marijuana.
That's what saved Colorado's deficit. That's what saved their... what's the word I'm looking for?
GP.
Economy.
Right.
They legalized marijuana, and the amount of revenue that created...
And of course,
It's the same thing as what we said how many years ago now? 20 years ago when the Indians created the casino. We were going to get so much money. We were going to great. It was fantastic. Do you remember when the Yeah.
You know, but there was only two casinos at the time. Now it's like every state around us is trying to open casinos, which is taking business away from the state of Connecticut, unfortunately. You know, but we need to visit this conversation a little bit more because just this week, late last week, I believe Friday, the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, that
Ugh.
Bastard,
He looks like Gollum.
He so does.
He's like, Gollum. That's my ring. Gollum.
He's pushing to actually make all these states that have actually now legalized the consumption of marijuana, trying to prosecute them federally. Because you got to remember that these states passed... legislation.
I did not know that.
In their states to legalize marijuana, but it's still illegal federally.
So the thing is, within the United States, you have the concept of states versus federal.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And Republicans believe that the state should govern more so, that it's a state-derived, you know, decision.
Yeah.
Whereas the Democrats feel that big government should tell you what to do. So that is basically one of the fundamental ideological differences between Republicans and Democrats. So right there. So you have the fact that Sessions is saying now as
a Republican attorney general, he's literally saying that he wants the federal government to go in and say no.
Which is
illegal, and we're going to prosecute.
Which is totally contrary to what a Republican should be.
It's the same thing with marriage equality. I mean, you know, until 2015 when it passed, because it went to the Supreme Court prior, and they said, we want it to percolate in the states more.
Yes.
And when that happened, you saw throughout those years until 2015,
33 states
after state legalizing it.
And part of it has to do because with the fact that you have so much time. You need to have so much time for the community, the society to get used to the idea.
And come to terms with it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And
because
now,
otherwise it'll be outlash.
Well, nowadays, everybody has some gay or lesbian aunt or uncle in there.
And they probably all smoke pot.
But that's like part of it is the fact that after 30 years, has it been that long? You know, you have in the beginning in the 80s when it was the beginning of people coming out more so. And now 30 years later, it really wasn't 30. I have to tell you, it was only 10 years later. But anyway, because the 80s were only 10 years ago. Just saying.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little defensive.
I'll take that.
I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I know my age. I was born in the 80s.
She's basically talking about not carbon dating herself. That's allowed.
Hashtag right. Carbon copy. Hello.
No, but basically, so if you have a generation is technically 33 years, that's a generation. So 33 years have passed. A generation has passed. Therefore, these individuals all have an uncle, an aunt, whatever. And
not necessarily, though, because...
Who's open, that maybe openly.
Now, maybe, yeah. But
well,
like,
yeah, and part of it,
me,
it's also on TV. You have, yeah. I mean...
There's more gay icons. There's more LGBTQ icons out there.
I mean, there's still part of me, I haven't watched cable TV in a very long time, but like, now everybody's kissing.
Proud of you.
Thank you. But everybody, like... Everybody kisses. It doesn't matter if you're boy or girl or, you know, same sex or whatever. And I can tell you, like, it's like when the Cosbys came on. They were black.
Oh, that was a big no-no.
Yeah, but it was a big, affluent, African-American family. Oh, my God. They're not in the hood. They're not whatever. So you're talking about that was the 80s. And so now you watch TV, and I was watching, I think it was The Librarians. And, like, that's not an awesome. Yeah, I like the show, but you know what I mean? It's not, like, mainstream or anything like that. And the two girls kissed, and it was like nothing.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it should be.
Right. But I'm just saying that it was, you know.
It wasn't always that
way. It wasn't that way.
But the thing is, though, you look at it like that, but then you have people, what is it, with the 1,000 Moms Against Disney or whatever that group is.
Oh, we covered that fucking group.
I know.
Fuck them.
But it's people like, it's people like that, that when we try to normalize our lifestyle in the public view, come out and create issues around the fact that we're just people living our life.
Like, and I want to say something about lifestyle. It's not a lifestyle. It's our lives.
Right.
Because when you, I think, in my opinion, when I say my lifestyle, it's almost like I'm letting people know that I had a choice to live this life.
Right.
I didn't have a choice.
But a lifestyle.
It's my life.
No, but a lifestyle means like, well, I've decided that I really like leather versus, you know, corduroy. That's a style choice.
Love them both.
Well, yeah, no,
but
I agree with you guys both.
Versus...
Yeah.
Super warm, too, by the way, corduroys.
Well, I like leather.
Oh, my God.
Leather's good, too, but just don't wear it in the summer, man. If you ever want to experience, like,
So we're walking down a path, like I always say. We need to move away from the path. So, Justice Andrew J. McDonald, congratulations. We hope the best for you. Governor Malloy, thank you for doing right by the Connecticut people. And that being said, that was uplifting, but we have some not so uplifting news for 2018 that I think Heather is going to enlighten us about.
All right. So, Heather, let's talk about a little bit about what you brought to the table. I know that you prepared many notes. She's like Dave, paper.
But they're typed.
But they're typed. Yes.
Wait, Dave types his
Dave, notes. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
We're but old school.
It's paper. Okay.
All right. I'm like, I can't read my
It's only
screen.
Been 10 years.
Only been 10 years. Apple, I used to know what a Macintosh was.
So did I.
So did I.
Yeah, right.
Go for it.
Okay. So, 5 days ago, so 5 days into the new year.
Oh, cursive.
Hello.
I know.
The drink is kicking in. Yes.
It sure is.
Okay, go, baby.
Okay. So, just 5 years into the new year, Krista Lee Steele Nudesline was found murdered at her home in North Adams, Massachusetts, making her the first U.S. trans woman to be killed in 2018. She was found stabbed to death on Friday evening, and her husband, Mark Steele Nudesline, 47, had been arrested on suspicion of the murder after he confessed to the police that he had killed her.
The 42-year-old's death had been ruled a homicide, and Krista's husband was arraigned for a murder charge. Krista Lee was known for founding and running the Miss Trans New England and Miss Trans America pageants. She was well known and liked within the community. This is a tragic start for the new year. And I can't believe that it's only like the new year started 5 days into it. We actually had our first murder of a trans woman. Because in 2017 was classified as the deadliest year for trans people, with the highest number of deaths due to fatal violence. There were 28 here in the U.S., and a disproportionate number of them were women, trans women of color. The victims were killed by acquaintances, partners, and strangers, and some of these cases involved clear anti-transgender bias. In others, the victim's transgender status may have put them at a risk in other ways, such as forcing them to be homeless. So, as a trans advocate, I find the fact that we are in 2018, only 5 days that we have our first
death. Absolutely horrifying. Repeat,
how many deaths did we have in 2017? Do you know off the top of your head?
28.
And so now we're 5 days in and we have our first.
Correct. Yes.
How many days are in a year?
365. The percentage is staggering.
So,
last year, so of the 2017, we had 28 deaths. Of the 28 deaths, two were non-women of color. I mean, that's staggering.
That's crazy.
It's unbelievably crazy. And we've touched this subject before because, as alarming as that number is, we've covered other parts of the world and where, like, for example, in Brazil, number is four times that.
Exactly.
Sickening. It is absolutely sickening. It's like, why?
What's crazy to me, if you think about it logically, so 5 days into the new year, our first death, if that trend continues and say every 5 days we lose somebody, that's 1,825 transgender members that we could potentially lose this year. Like, this is ridiculous.
It really is.
Ridiculous.
Right. And it part of the reason I think...
I shouldn't have to wake up... I'm sorry. I don't mean to...
No, that's
but
fine.
We shouldn't have to wake up as a community every day like we do as an American people waiting for the next terrorist attack, wherever it may
it's
be...
It's happening now.
Wherever it may be in the world, that we wake up every day like, okay... Did we lose another transgender member of the community?
Not only that, you have to wake up to the realization that more people die in the hands of authorities in this country than they do terrorists, year after year. Police officers kill people, you know, whether it's justified or not. You have more deaths at the hands of authorities than you would terrorists.
I mean, not to denigrate because as a trans ally, but you know, if then you start going off the path, which is what about how many people have died from gun violence? I mean, the majority of these women
but people need to understand that this show is about the LGBT community, and we want to advocate and we want to talk about what happens to our brothers and our sisters in all of the facets of our community.
Right.
And the transgender community is a very important part of that.
Yeah. Right.
And we keep saying on the show, I mean, like, I want to start my own show about why the community that we are a part of has separated itself for so long and how we build that back up together. And I think that that's a huge part of what we do and what we need to do as a community as a whole is these are our people.
Well, and people forget about the fact that Stonewall was actually created by a trans woman of color. I mean, when they did that movie a couple years ago, they totally whitewashed it. I mean, it's like people forget that this is how it started. They had no idea. And I mean, the gay lesbian movement focused on that and the trans community, because part of it
got pushed to the side.
But part of it is that it's totally different. Everything has to do with the sex. Like, you know, who do you feel sexually attracted to? Same sex. Trans is not sexual. It is gender. It's in between your ears. It's not down south. And that's a totally different concept. People are finally getting it, but it's very hard because even nowadays, talking to older people, they'll say sex. Like, there needs to be a change within the vocabulary of the community where instead of saying, do you remember we filled out forms and it's like, what sex are you?
Uh-huh.
Male or female? No.
It shouldn't even be on there.
Well, it shouldn't be sex. It should be gender. What is your gender? Male, female, or other?
It shouldn't even be important. You're human.
Well, but if you need...
I mean, or for demographics, we should have some sort of idea of what's within our communities. Yeah, so I mean, I understand that for the sense of, like, for example, a census, it would make sense. But you're right. It should be just gender.
What is your What is your gender? How do you identify? It doesn't matter what genetic, you know, like down below, what parts you have or have not. Mm-hmm. What gender do you identify?
Now, I have a question about this story.
Okay.
And I'm going to throw it out to both of you. Now, we know that, well, at least the husband has committed to this murder.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would we, do we, as a community, consider this a hate crime or just an... Or just
domestic violence?
Domestic violence.
You don't know. I read the article and stuff, and it was blunt force trauma to the head and a stab wound. She died of blood loss. So that does kind of mean that it probably was a domestic violence
issue.
Because
at this point, is it safe to assume? And I hate assuming, but is it safe to say that they had been together for a long time?
They were married for a year.
Okay.
And
for one year, they
had been together. They just got married a year ago. They had been together. They lived in Adams, Massachusetts. They moved to North Adams. They just got married. There are pictures on the article from her Facebook.
I have friends there. It's crazy.
Yeah. And like a friend of mine, Lorelei Arice, who is a trans advocate. She's really active in the Boston area. I met her when I went out to P-Town for the trans event, which I can't remember, Fantasia Fair.
Uh-huh.
And she's like hysterical or whatever, but she posted on Facebook like how upset she is because she actually was a Miss Trans New England.
And this particular individual started... Or founded a lot of the pageants that were happening in the New England area.
Yes. So
and national too, right?
I'm not really sure about that. I mean, what I saw was what Lorelei had written, and then I investigated it, and it came up. So I hadn't had time to talk to Lorelei. I mean, she did talk. You know, she's grieving. So she's been posting on Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that. But
and it's hard because, you know, you got to realize that, you know, that there's, it's hard enough to be trans.
Yes.
But it's hard enough to lose a friend of the community that has been so visible.
And supportive.
Exactly. And supportive.
And probably so many people's rocks.
Yeah.
So many other trans members rock and like support network to be who they are and come out.
And part of it is the individuals that are actually able to come out and be a positive role model and be out there. Other people look at as like, oh, wow, you were able to do this. Oh, my God, you look fantastic. Because part of it does come down to looks. You know, do you present correctly? What are you like? Are you true to yourself? I mean, my friend Allison Hale, who was on here before.
We love her. We've had Allison. She was actually the first of our four-part series of transgender men and women that we had on the show. And she was the first that we had. What an amazing lineup that entire month of November was.
It was really good.
So enlightening. I mean, I know that we had Allison on the show. We had Alok. We had Bobby. We had Tony Fariello that came on the show. It was an amazing show, and I learned so much. So to hear this, really, it really disturbs me. So as I was saying before, it's safe to say that they were in a committed relationship. They had known each other for a while.
Well, yes.
So it's not like he didn't know that she was transgender.
No.
But you had some other information.
So going to the next step, which is, so part of it is that some people feel that if they have met somebody trans, so they see this beautiful woman walking down the street, they do a cat call, or they met them at a bar and they think, oh my God, she's absolutely gorgeous or whatever. And they start talking to them. And then, oh my God, they found out that they're trans. There's this like knee-jerk reaction that these people have, which is like, you're pulling something over me. You know,
it's also been an ego thing. It's a total ego thing. Like,
so the difference,
you feel attacked almost.
Or you feel, yeah, like somebody pulled the wool over your eyes. I mean, yeah. So part of it is, so the difference that I've found between transgender and gay and lesbian is that gay and lesbian, it's not like you're pretending to be somebody else. I mean, I don't agree with this, but I've read enough literature, which is that sometimes people feel that a transgender individual is hiding themselves. And they have been. And so they feel that they've been duped, that they have been lied to. But the problem is that the person that is transgender has been lying to themselves.
Well, you know, just to tag
until
that,
they come out.
Until, well, yeah, but like, how long does it take them to rationalize, realize, and go forward?
To piggyback on that, though, it's like, it's not just about like the transgender community. Obviously, that's what we were talking about right now. But it's... We all, this entire community feels that way. I mean, like, we lied to our, I remember laying in bed as a kid being like, I can't be gay. Of all the people in the world, me? No, I can't be gay.
Right.
Oh, honey.
I'm sorry.
There's no mistaking that. Are you okay, girl? She's having a coughing moment. So let me just get my point in while she coughs her lungs out. Okay, so go to the bathroom, girl. Good girl. Oh, she'll be okay. So here's the thing, and you said that correctly, because as a gay man or a lesbian woman, we can go out into the community and people can say, okay, I know that's a gay person.
Mm-hmm.
And I can immediately say, okay, I'm not going to engage that person. I may engage that person. I may want to maybe possibly explore my sexuality with that person, or I may not. That's not the case for the trans community, because for someone in the trans community, especially women mm-hmm. in the trans community, the whole idea is to be comfortable in your own skin and who you see yourself as. And obviously these women want to be seen as women.
Right.
Right? That's the whole
and
reason.
And so they present themselves as women, and some of these men feel that they were lied to, or it's kind of like that bait and switch type thing. Yes. Like, so then what happens is that they get this visceral anger.
Mm-hmm.
So this comes down to on July 1st.
Okay.
The state of Illinois became, so it's the second state in the United States to rule out the gay panic defense. Okay. So the gay panic defense is, okay, so let me start over. Defense attorneys will know. Yeah, just
cursive.
It's okay.
I'm back.
Love it.
Yeah, well, you are losing your lungs. Okay, defense attorneys will no longer be able to mount the so-called gay panic defense in Illinois, the second state after California to prohibit the tactic. It isn't common, but one study shows that it has surfaced in about half of all U.S. states and has been used with some success. Advocates say bans are necessary because crimes against gay and transgender people are on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
But some attorneys remain skeptical, calling the ban politically motivated and unnecessary because of the old-fashioned defense wouldn't hold up in court today. There are variations of this defense. However, it generally goes like this. A person doesn't realize someone is gay or transgender and engages in a flirtation, then discovers that the person's sexual orientation and discovers what the person's sexual orientation is, and that discovery triggers a passionate and voluntary response to such as murder. Advocates point to the beating death of Islyn Nettles, a transgender woman who died on a New York City street in 2013. James Dixon, who pleaded guilty and was sentenced last year, flirted with Nettles before realizing that she was transgender. He punched her in the face and she fell and hit her head. Legal experts, for example, Anthony Michael Kreese, a Chicago Kent College of Law professor who helped write the Illinois law, said Dixon had gotten a lenient 12-year sentence in a plea deal because of the trans panic defense. Dixon has says that he doesn't hate transgender people. So basically,
he was saying that, oh, you know, I just didn't know, and I was enraged at the fact that she was deceiving me.
So I hit her,
and she died.
Yeah, and
that's bullshit.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
I didn't even, when you brought this up, I didn't even know that there was a gay panic act or
it's called the gay panic defense.
Like what? What is that?
I mean, I can understand the whole concept behind it. And you know what?
Sure,
you know,
I can understand it.
You have to, like, really give it up to these defense attorneys who really, like, try to twist the law. And it's like, listen.
And honey, if you didn't know that Trish was gay.
Honey, you need to know. But I don't care how you slice it or dice it, no pun intended. If you engage someone and later find out that they're transgender, or they that you know
or they were
at one
gay or whatever.
Point in time in their life they were a man or they're gay, and you don't want to continue to engage in that, you don't need to resort to violence.
Right.
You walk the fuck away.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, let your fucking ego go. It's not fair. Because you feel hurt or your
violated
or
right.
your ego has been in any way, like,
you know,
chopped down, you have the right to hurt somebody?
You're like,
No,
because they're saying that basically, so I was duped, and so I got pissed off, and so I hit you, and oh my God, I'm so sorry, I hit you too hard, and you're dead. No.
No, it doesn't matter. Again, as I said before, it doesn't matter how you slice it or dice it. If you don't agree with what someone is, you walk away. The moment you decide to get violent, that's just in your character. It doesn't matter whether that's a transgender person, a gay person, a straight person. It's a human.
So
you decided to put your hands right. on another fucking human.
Right.
And your action resulted in death. And if they resulted in death, you deserve to get punished to the utmost. And I mean the most possible sentence available.
But what's great about this? What, like, the light at the end of the tunnel here is Illinois.
So it's
got rid of.
So
this.
California already did. Illinois did, and then there's more states, including New Jersey, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, are expected to follow suit this year.
Connecticut better step up to the plate.
Well, I would assume
Daniel P. Malloy.
I would assume.
Are lame duck president. Do something. Lame duck governor. Do something about it.
But it's. I mean, it's really. I don't know about you, but have you seen on Facebook? There was recently like, there's a. A whole bunch of Facebook videos that were posted about a transgender individual that had gotten attacked, you know, beaten up and stuff like that. And it's these men that are just like, in a way, they take it as a personal attack on them that, oh my God, I found this woman to be sexy. And how dare you actually have a penis?
And so now I'm mad at you because I failed to realize what I was actually looking at.
But
and these
women are beautiful. Why?
They're gorgeous women.
Who cares?
They're gorgeous women. Who cares? And if you found out, again, walk the fuck away.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. You don't got to turn to violence. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that you turn to violence, that's on you. That is not on the person that you were engaging with.
You know
with
how many
at
times?
All.
How many times as a gay man I have found
Plenty.
A lesbian attractive.
Plenty.
And found out after the fact that they were a lesbian or a girl.
Yeah.
So right. many times. And I'm like, whoo. I mean, like, they're still pretty, but.
Okay. So I have a confession.
No, we're not saying that on air. We are not saying that on air. No, please.
Yes, we
no,
are.
No, we're not. I can't.
It's either that or I'm going to use it on your
okay,
burn
then
episode.
Let me tell the story. Fine.
Why can't I just
So one of our good friends, Jess, who is texting me right now.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Jess Brannis.
Uh-huh. When we
She's the
her.
Host of the Drinks with Jess podcast.
Uh-huh. And the Dating Pool
podcast. I forget where I was, but it was Schmo. Schmo sent a link and I saw her upcoming Dating Pool podcast.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my God. This guy is so hot.
And he,
holy fuck. And so
Trish
booked right away. Right away. I was like, I emailed. We had an exchange. And then Tom texted me. I don't know.
No, we were having a dialogue. Oh, he goes, Tom, I booked this guy on the show, whatever. And then I look at the information.
She's going to kill me. Jess, I love you.
she's like, I love you.
Oh, she just responded. She said, I love you.
And so I said, Trish. you do realize that's a woman, right?
So immediately I run back to my first email. I'm like, how did I address her?
confessions behind the desk. No, but that really truly did happen. And just to let you know, Jess Brannis is a beautiful woman, but could also be an amazingly beautiful guy. Because mm-hmm. even when I saw the picture at first, I was like, I'm confused.
Well, the way that she presents herself is sort of androgynous.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she's very androgynous.
She's gorgeous. Yes, like at the end of the day, and like she.
Sex aside, she's a beautiful person. I mean, a beautiful, beautiful physique. But then when you think about when you meet her and you get to interact with
her. I was still
turned
on.
She's just an amazing, beautiful person all around. So it happens. Mm-hmm. It really does. But you know what? If you get into the situation where that's not your cup of tea, walk the fuck away.
I didn't walk away. I booked her, bitch.
I know. You saw her naked, by the way.
I did see her naked. I was fine with it. And I thought it was like, damn.
She's gorgeous.
She's got it all put together.
She is absolutely gorgeous. So, yes. Shout out to Breast Janice. But that is Confessions from Gay Talk.
You just said Breast Janice?
No, Jess Brannis.
No. Oh,
you
no,
said Breast Janice.
No, but seriously, shout out to Jess, you know, because she's just absolutely gorgeous. And on top of the fact that she's gorgeous and amazing, she's a beautiful person.
And such a supporter of us as we are of her.
Of everyone.
Yeah.
She really, really takes, you know what I love about her the most is that she really dedicates her time and takes her time to really go into the community. She will go to New Hope. She will go to Rehoboth Beach. She will go into all these pride events and she will sit down at a table with the community.
I want to go to Mardi Gras with her next year.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. And she just engages her people. And that is a beautiful thing to do. And you see that. You really get that when you listen to her show.
I'm really excited because I'm really hoping that, I know that we're getting off topic a little bit here, but
as always, yeah,
we are between Gay Talk and Drinks with Jess. We're working on something for hopefully this summer to do a podcast, not cross broadcast, but hopefully in the same space.
Awesome.
That would be amazing.
And I'm really excited about it. So as that develops, we will let you know.
Yes.
And she's probably about to text me being like, why would you say that on air?
But, you know, we have a lot of stuff going on. And we're just super excited for what 2018 has to bring us. As we said during the first show that we recorded this year, our drunken episode on the first, it is a new motherfucking year.
Yeah. And right? Trish went full force.
She did. She got a new car.
She got a new bed set. She got a new.
Wow.
She got a new boyfriend.
Yay! Oh,
she did. I'm proud of you. Wait, no. You still have the same boyfriend from 2017.
Yeah, but it's a new year.
But it's still.
Yeah,
new.
But it's a new bedroom
okay.
set.
So let me ask you, Lady Heather.
Oh, and I got new pillows. My pillow. We're gonna get them as a sponsor because
are you?
Holy shit.
They're
they
worth
are
it.
Amazing. Hashtag my pillow.
Because I keep seeing it at NECN, and I'm like, the man.
I'm gonna let you reach out to them and see if we can get that.
Because you know, I'm telling you.
Okay, I didn't get a squatty potty. I want a freaking pillow.
Speaking of sponsors, we do have to plug our
next sponsor.
Yeah, of course. We'll be right back.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Studio Sweden. If you're looking for an affordable headset with amazing sound quality, style, and comfort, head on over to studiosweden.com and take a look at the selection of headsets available. With an amazing variety, you are sure to find one that suits your style and needs. Use discount code GAYTALK2.0 for 15% off your entire order, and remember, it's free shipping worldwide. studiosweden.com. Now back to the show.
All right. So we're back. Thank you. That was studiosweden.com. I'm wearing my headsets. They're super comfy. I love them. All right. So listen, darling Heather,
yes.
Do you have anything else that you need to cover really quickly before we move on to the next stories? Because we do have a significant amount of stuff that we still need to cover. And we want to make sure that we stay under.
We got not a
two
long time.
2 hours. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I always. Whenever I'm on, it goes really
it's
long.
It's not just you, honey. Believe
no,
me.
No, but it goes fast, right? It's yeah. like, boom, you sit down and you start talking, and next thing you know, it's like, time to go. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. No, I'm good. I think I hit it, other than I do Diva Social. Please come.
Yes, she does. So thank you so much for sharing that information. It's truly heartbreaking, but you know what? It is important for us to be able to talk about that stuff and make sure that our community is aware of what's going on so that we can, you know, stay on our toes and help out wherever we can.
Speaking of our community,
yes,
and staying on our toes.
Yes.
And staying visible.
Yes.
And strong.
Yes.
I have something for you.
Tell us, Trish. Tell us.
So, it's been officially announced that we will have our first openly gay Olympic figure skating team member, male, Adam Rippon, in the 2018, because it's not 17 anymore,
right.
2018 Winter Olympics.
And that's happening.
Now, obviously, we know that there are
South Korea.
There are plenty of out.
How do you pronounce the name of the city? Because
it's happening in Seoul.
No, it's Pyongyang.
Yeah,
no, Pyongyang is North Korea.
It's in Pyongyang.
I'm just going to say, we're going to just say Korea.
Okay, let's just say that.
Okay, we're just going to say Korea.
North Korea is where that fucking dictator's from.
Yeah.
By the way, Russia won't be there.
No,
they got banned.
They got banned.
Hello.
For drugs. But so, some of their athletes will participate in the games unofficiated with any country. They will go under the Olympic flag.
Which is great.
Which is fantastic because not all of them were dopers. And I think that...
I think it's important that all of... we're getting off topic again, but all...
Uh-huh.
All of the countries, all the countries should be represented at these Olympics because the Olympics are about being united as a world. It's not about individual bias and bullshit. It's about uniting and coming together. And that's what's the beautiful, that is the beautiful part about the Olympics. That being said, we have a gay male figure skater.
Yeah.
And he's the first openly gay figure skater.
And
I was going to say there's a whole bunch beforehand.
Exactly. That's where I was going. Obviously, we know there are a bunch of openly.
Wasn't Rudy?
Some
Ruby?
Openly and some not openly gay figure skaters.
Yeah.
One of them was a swimmer and he wasn't openly gay until after the incident.
That was Greg Louganis.
When he banged his head and then it
HIV.
Was discovered that he was HIV positive and that became a huge scandal
because
that happened in the late 80s, almost into the 90s.
Yeah.
So Lady Heather did point out, your phone locked on me, so you got to unlock that thing. It's an Android. Sorry.
I don't think I'm going to get through this
I'm
story.
Allergic. Anyway, so so just to
clarify.
It's not Seoul's.
It's not Seoul,
South Korea. It is actually Pyeongchang. Not Yang, because that's North Korea. Pyongyang is the capital of North Korea. Pyeongchang. C-H. Okay, so it's P-Y-E-O-N-G-C-H-A-N-G.
That's great.
That's where it's happening.
Okay,
I
wonderful.
I just have to throw
wonderful.
That out there.
All right, so I just, before we move on, I just want to say...
I'm going to fucking cut her.
Look, I'm trying to tell a fucking story here.
Okay, let's just be truthful. How many gay figure skaters... were they? I can count on my hand.
Oh, no, you're
easily.
Right. There's so many.
Rudy. There was, I can't think of their names, but I can see
were
their
they
faces.
Openly?
No, hold on. Here's the thing. A lot of them came out after the fact.
Yes.
This is the first time in Olympic history, in U.S. Olympic history, that we are sending somebody that is openly gay for figure skating that is out prior to their competition.
Okay, I can see that.
And there's probably a real reason behind that, because years prior... there was a lot of bias, and they were afraid of being judged on the fact that they were gay,
uh-huh.
and would that denote from their performance?
But isn't he, like, one of the oldest, also? He's one of the older.
Adam Rippon?
Yep. He's old.
I don't know exactly what his age is, but I can find out for you.
I'll beat you to it.
Okay, you do that while I read a quote from him.
Do it.
So, Adam Rippon said, "I am so excited to be on this Olympic team. I have always tried to be my authentic self, and sharing my story has always been really important. I can't wait to represent my country and the LGBTQ community at the Olympics in Korea." And that statement, small, sweet, and short, is the most amazing and poignant and perfect statement he can make, because he is really just bearing down on what our community needs to do as a whole.
He's going to be on the world stage.
Yes.
And literally.
Representing our country as a gay man.
Mm-hmm. And he is old. He's 28 years old.
Yeah. He's really older for a figure skater. I mean, he's not old, but he is older for your typical age of figure skaters at their prime.
Yes, he was born in 1989.
Oh, I'm older than him.
No, but it's also, you know, it was an amazing article that the Advocate put out there. I had read the article. Very good. And I'm happy for him. So
I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the community as a whole. It's just like, I just love seeing more visibility in every facet of our lives. And the fact that we're seeing more visibility, like with Tom Daley and with all of these people in the Olympics, blows my mind. And if we want to talk about Tom Daley and those pictures that were released, have we heard about
yummy.
That?
Me.
Yeah, he's cute.
Yummy.
Yeah, oh, my God. Cute.
So here's the Washington Post. Fuck.
Here, you just swipe it.
Swipe. Swipe.
Tom's trying to use an Android.
Yeah, swipe. Swipe.
Swipe.
No. It didn't lock. It went to another screen.
Oh my God, you're such an idiot. And I mean that.
I love her. I hope she means that with a lot of love and compassion because I'm just so Android illiterate.
No, it's okay. iPhone illiterate. So yeah, he becomes the oldest.
Adam Rippon becomes the oldest U.S. figure skating Olympic rookie since 1936.
And he's openly gay. Yes. Hello.
Fabulous. All right. So I wanted to cover a story very quickly.
Of course she did.
Of course.
But I wanted to cover the story only because it's funny. And I think that it has a lot to do with what's currently happening in the news.
Will it warm me up?
Possibly. And it will lead us into close our show.
Yeah, of course. So as we know, Fire and Fury came out. The book has been extremely controversial, and it has caused the breakup of one of Washington's, most lovey-dovey relationships.
Really?
Donald Trump and Steve Bannon are broken up, and they're fighting, and they're publicly fighting, and it's fucking crazy because this book has a lot of salacious stuff in it. And so Donald Trump is pissed that the fact that he tried to put a cease and desist order on the publisher. Mm-hmm. On the author of the book, and also on Steve Bannon.
Which has never, ever been done by a president.
No president, right. Ever. So he sends out the cease and desist letter, and as soon as he did that, the publishers pushed the release date of the book ahead of the original release date because of the goddamn freaking demand for the book. The book actually was released, and it has literally been at the top of the, like,
Amazon.
Top of Amazon. People are downloading that book so fucking fast. Like,
did you buy it?
I have not, because I refuse to give anyone that has anything to say about Donald Trump my money.
No, I agree. That's what I figure. It'll get to the point where we're going to find them, like, people in their bathrooms to wipe their butts.
Pretty much. Oh, I have Donald Trump toilet paper that I've yet to put up in my bathroom. I'm waiting to finish my decorations to be able to do that. So, because of all this craziness, Donald Trump gave Steve Bannon a new nickname.
Oh, of course.
That nickname is going to turn into our gay talk term. So all I'm going to say is that he called Steve Bannon the following. And I think it's so fucking hysterical. Sloppy Steve.
Tonight's episode is...
She's a mess.
Is that like sloppy seconds?
It could be sloppy seconds, but it's sloppy Steven, and I would really wish I could read you the description right now, but we're going to use it as our gay talk term for today, so we're going to follow up with the story. I just wanted to be able to say that Steve Bannon is a sloppy Steven.
Yes! I'm in the middle of trying to do something, so can you guys talk about something for a second?
Sure.
Oh my God. Oh wait, never mind. I got him live!
Oh, Lord have mercy. All right.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest joining us right now.
Is this a surprise?
This is the surprise. Wait, are we recording his line before?
No, we're not recording his line. First of all, it needs to go on the... I'm going to cut her.
It's not my fault. This is not my fault. So things got a little...
Maybe I'll put her here.
Just put her right there.
Hi, Christopher.
Hi.
Hi, Chris!
Hello.
Speak into the mic, darling.
What's going on?
Hello. Look up.
Hold on 1 second. I'm trying. I'm getting my laptop to work.
Hi. Yeah, she's a mess.
So you called in for a reason, right?
Are you guys recording?
Yes.
Yes.
We've been recording for an hour and a half.
Duh.
We're trying to close out the show. That's why I was trying to push you to call us.
Oh. Meanwhile,
in Canada,
speak loud.
We finally freaking made it.
I'm proud of you.
That's exciting. Where are you guys?
We are in St. John, New Brunswick.
Yes, I was right.
I was shitting my pants on the drive here. Blizzard.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's
when
crazy.
We got to Maine. It took us. We left at 8:15 this morning. We just got here. And You couldn't see anything on the highway. It was absolutely terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
But you had a Jeep.
Well, yeah, yeah, but I had, yeah, I put it into four-wheel drive and we were pretty good. But I did at, what's it called? Duty free. I got a bottle of whiskey for $3.30.
I bet
yes,
you did.
Yes, you did.
She won't be, she's not going to survive this trip. I'm sorry.
So we have to tell you something really quick. I just want to let you know that Heather's audition went really well. And we are going to go ahead and keep her on the show, and you have been released from your duties.
Free at last. I'm free at last.
And since you're already there, you can stay in Canada.
With your later hosen.
No, we love you. We miss you. We're glad that you made it there safe.
What?
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. How you guys are closing up the show?
Yes.
Yeah, we're about to.
Well, we're about to soon, yes.
It's a little cold down here.
Well, I'm happy that I got here just in time, and I hope you guys had a good show, and it's nice to be talking to all of our listeners again. And to
all four of you, three.
All three, yeah. Three, unless we got that fourth one back.
So,
but, yeah, I just wanted to call in and say I love you.
We love you, too.
Oh, we love you, too, honey. And you tell Toby I said hello.
Sure will.
Don't tell Bobby we said hello because of his email earlier.
I'm going to read that when I hang up with you guys.
All right. Well, Donnie, listen, enjoy your vacation, and we will see you in 2 weeks because we don't know if you're going to be able to make it back in time for our next episode. But we surely miss you and hope that to see you in studio as soon as possible.
And I'll drive for the next episode.
Definitely. Sounds good to me.
All right. All right,
Donnie. Oh, well, yeah. Congratulations.
Oh, that's right. Congrats.
All right. Well, I love you guys.
Love you too.
Bye. Bye, Chris. Bye.
So, yeah, that was the surprise for you, Tommy.
That was a surprise? That was not a surprise.
That's I know. I figured it out. He wanted it to be a surprise. And I was like, Tom's just going to be like, it's fucking Chris.
That's my every fucking week. Are you kidding me? That's not a surprise. Enjoy your goddamn fucking vacation. Stop texting us. I'm kidding.
No. Text us the entire time. We're worried about you.
Yeah, I know. No, we are. Yeah, well, he's probably going to end up in a fucking parking lot somewhere sleeping.
Gas station.
But anyway, so all right. So we've got a couple of more things that we need to talk about, and then we can start.
No, I think that's it. I think we can skip the last thing. I think you led us perfectly into our gay talk term, so I think we should just jump on that unless you have something you want to talk about.
No. Do I have something I want to talk about?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
No, I think that's it. All right. So listen. All right. So we've got, as we mentioned, Sloppy Steve. Why don't you tell us, Nicholas, what Sloppy Steve is for us this week?
All right. So ladies and gentlemen, your gay talk term brought to you, of course, by unicornbooty.com.
Not really.
Is Sloppy Steve. Yes. Now, Sloppy Steve is actually not from the gay talk term book as Tommy alliterated earlier.
But we're taking it.
But we are running with this. So Sloppy Steve, when a man or a woman receives anal and attempts to take a shit during the process, the shit will squeeze out and form Play-Doh like the toy Play-Doh like clumps, uh-huh, in which the impaler plays with.
That is absolutely disgusting.
So when you think of Steve Bannon, it is Sloppy Steve. Sloppy Steve is Steve Bannon.
Uh-huh. Play-Doh
brought to you by unicornbooty.com and really. President, not my president, Donald Trump.
I want to throw up every time I say that name. But anyway, so yeah.
So that's your gay talk term this week.
All right. So we want to move over now on to this day in gay history. And we are going to let our fantastic guest host do it for us. You know, really, I think it's just amazing that she's here with us and we're super excited. Did I go up too far?
No, you're good.
All right. So she's going to let you know what our gay this day in gay history term is.
Mm-hmm. So on this day in gay history, Harvey Milk.
Wait! On this day in gay history, what? Brought to you by?
Unicornbooty.com.
Yes!
Not really. Go ahead.
Harvey Milk took office on January 8th, 1978 in California.
In San Francisco.
And such a powerful moment for our community.
It really was. It was one of the first openly gay city officials to really
ever be elected. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. In 1978. That was,
Yeah,
that was a while ago.
How old were you?
I was -9.
Yeah, you were still
-9.
I was -9. In somebody's balls.
I was like 9.
She's carbon dating herself in the negative. But I'm proud of you. Harvey Milk took office on June 8th, 1978 in California. So thank you, Heather, for letting us know our this day in gay history term. And now we've got some announcements. So I suppose I better start, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to be ready for yours?
Yes, I have mine. I'm getting it up. Ooh.
Okay, well,
yours remember that audition I was talking about earlier?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris, you're back.
All right, so here we go. So,
Thank you, bitch.
Ooh, I love her already. She calls you by your actual name.
I know.
All right, so if you love the show, you can help us in one of three ways to let others know about the show and to ensure it becomes more visible within the podcasting community. You can subscribe to our show. By doing so, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. You can rate and review our show. You can do so on iTunes, on Apple Podcast app, Google Play Music for Android listeners, as well as Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, and all of those amazing podcasting apps. And you can also support us on Patreon, which is a service that allows you, our listeners, to pledge a monetary donation every month that we could use to continue to produce and bring you the week after week. So, Nicholas?
Yeah, so next week, we will be joined by Jill Frey, who will also be filling in for Christopher while he's away in Canada. He may be back, we don't know, but if
he's
back... Christopher's
getting a lot of filling.
Well, finally.
Bobby?
Bobby... You're going to get cut. Hashtag your email. Anyway, so have fun, Chris, while you're away. We are so excited to have Jill Frey on next week to join us as a co-host. Maybe Chris will be here. Maybe he won't. Who knows? And that being said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you to our guest co-host who nailed it today, Lady Heather, for once again joining us, not only as a co-host, but as a guest, because you are both a co-host and a guest on this
show.
And
many times.
And I really enjoy it. And
you know, we love having you on the show. And every time before we keep going and close up, but every time I come to the bar, she walks up to the bar. And at this point, she's probably already had one too many vodka sodas. She's like, so when am I going to be on the show next?
I do. She I do that, that don't
all
I?
The time. Every
I
single
do.
Saturday.
I'm like,
but you know
hello.
What? We've got a system, but you know what? You're welcome here anytime.
I have a really good time.
Open
really
seat.
Enjoy it.
We love you. We love our people and those that decide to engage with us. So,
Before we close out the show, I want to do one more thing.
Of course, that's expected.
Yeah, I mean that's what I do. I'm Trish. So I want to put this out there to our listeners. Do you love our show? Do you guys love our show?
Yes.
I love you.
I love what we do. I think what we're doing is very important. And what is important for me is a little bit of an acknowledgement.
You want some
that
love.
Being said, the
he wants everybody 13th, to stop sending no, the, Chris emails.
No, the 13th annual podcast People's Choice Awards.
Oh.
Registration starts on January 15th.
Okay.
So that's coming up. I'm reaching out. If you think that our podcast is worth a nomination for the LGBTQ category,
awesome.
I would love
Absolutely.
For one of our listeners to go to podcastawards.com and nominate Gay Talk 2.0 for the LGBTQ category for this upcoming year.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention that last year.
But we're not forgetting this year.
You're
know.
Really
no,
on
I
the
actually
ball.
Had a reminder set in my phone.
So we're not forgetting this year, and unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get into penis whitening.
No,
which I was looking forward to.
No, but we'll talk about that next week.
No, I had things that I wanted to say.
But we're already at.
I know that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, anyway, penis whitening's a thing now. It's like anal bleaching, but penis whitening.
Get one question. Go.
Why do you want to be white?
Okay, so
it's not about being white. It's just it's making the tone uniform.
Yeah. So your genitals because of hormones are
darker.
A little bit darker than your actual skin.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And so people want to change the color of their penis to match the actual color of their skin because they think it looks more appealing. Personally, I think that a dick looks good the way a dick looks.
Michael Jackson.
Well, I mean,
that thing was spotted.
Spotted
well,
dick.
Didn't he have a skin disorder that actually caused...
No, but I mean...
But then he bleached his skin,
But I thought, like, darker people, brown people, have more fun than white people?
Well, I mean, I think that anybody can have fun as long as you have a penis. And
why would you want to bleach it? That's all I have to say.
Well, I mean,
I'll say one thing. I would love to bleach my asshole. I probably will bleach my asshole. You can actually put Botox in your asshole. You want to tighten that back up? I found that out today too. But
let's go back.
I don't want to bleach my penis.
Let's go back.
I think it would hurt. It's like bleaching your teeth, and it gets like really too sensitive.
40 episodes ago, Trish said that her ass looked like a
meat mincer.
It went through a meat mincer.
I remember that.
She needs Botox.
Right. I would totally get Botox.
All right. So, guys, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's put a fucking rubber on this episode.
Yes, yes. Let's put a rubber on that extra white dick.
All right. So, normally, Chris is here, but we're going to let Lady Heather give us this little information.
Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com.
GayTalk20.com. Keep going.
GayTalk20.com. Under show and episodes. I can't. I'm laughing too hard.
It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio. Nicholas?
Nick announces.
Yes, queen.
You can find us on social media. Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0. Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0. Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at Gay Talk. No, not at anything. You can email us at GayTalk2.0@gmail.com.
I thought it was GayTalk20.com.
I'm going to cut her.
Oh, my God. She's gone off the rails.
She's done.
You can email us at GayTalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
All right. And if you need to reach out to us for anything, just go right to our website, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser. There you can leave us comments. You can suggest topics, or as Chris would always say, want me to say, suggestions. Submit questions for the cast or submit a question for an individual host.
Cursive.
Thank you. You can also call us. Give us a call. 334-GAY-TALK. No, wait. 334-GAY-TALK. Yeah, that's right.
429-8255.
So 334-429-8255. Leave us a voicemail if you want us to talk about something on air, you know, about what it is that's on your mind. We can do that for you.
Tell us about your experience with penis bleaching.
Yes. And don't forget that we stream live every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show for today. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.